What's good, everybody, and welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily. This is Wednesday, October 24th, 2018. I'm Andrea Renee, joined by StackUp.org's Dave Krause.
Hey, everybody. Oh.
Yeah, full round of applause. Dave, thanks so much for coming by the studio today.
Are you kidding me? This is really cool. So I've never been to the studio before. Obviously, we've been in the same orbit for a few years now, and Greg
Indeed.
And Nick and Tim, and you guys are great, and you know, we love you guys to death, and I've become quite a fan of the program since I first met you guys, and it is very surreal to be in here right now, but I'm also really excited.
Well, we're excited to have you, and we're going to chat with you about what you're doing here in San Francisco in just a minute. But I want to tell you that this, of course, is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday, your source for nerdy video game news in the morning. You guys can watch it live at twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching it live, we need your help to keep us honest at kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. Let us know what we screw up as we screw it up. If you can't watch it live, no sweats. You can catch it on podcast services around the world. And of course, at youtube.com/kindafunnygames. If you guys haven't subscribed yet, it would really help us out if you hit that little button. Maybe you want to hit the bell too, and so that lets you know every time we upload a brand new video. We just want to keep you guys informed. We have some interesting questions from you guys. Thank you to everybody who wrote in after I made a call for some questions from yesterday and who wrote in to ask about some of the new news. Greg making an appearance. Now slowly backing away to bring you some paper notes in case you get the urge.
Oh, these are mine.
Yeah.
Ooh, thank you, Greg.
Sometimes Kevin is very kind enough to print me paper notes, but I never use the paper because I'm always
on your computer
looking up stuff on the fly.
Seeing you on your computer is what made me realize maybe I should bring my computer so I can fit in.
Well, I'm glad you did, because this way we can have track notes if we need to change anything as we go. Hopefully we won't need to, but it's an interesting day of news. Before we get to the Roper Report, I want to do just a little bit of housekeeping. Extra Life 2018 is almost upon us, you guys. November 3rd, we're going to be streaming games and shenanigans for 24 hours as we raise money for the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. If you guys want to join in, or if you want to donate, you can go to kindafunny.com/extralife. We have all the details there for you. I'm going to be there. All the guys are going to be there. If you missed the morning show this morning, I said that John Drake will once again be making an appearance this year. Whether or not he's going to be licking Kevin's stomach, we don't know yet.
Let's not talk about that anymore.
You want to just bury it in the past. Never think about it again. But we definitely need your help raising money for all those lovely kids. So again, kindafunny.com/extralife if you want to get involved. Plus, today's show is brought to you by Loot Crate, Quip, and Third Lab, but we're going to talk more about those later. And I've got some news for What's Good Games. We're going to be at TwitchCon this weekend. If you guys are going to be there, we are going to be on the Spotlight stage at 2:15. If you can't be at TwitchCon, you can watch that at twitch.tv/twitch. We also are going to be the premiere episode of Twitch's new series, The Setup, which shows a behind the scenes look at our studio that we've put together, and that is streaming at 6 p.m. Pacific time. Again, twitch.tv/twitch. And we're going to be doing a meetup. We're still finalizing the location because San Jose is a little bit more complicated, because I've never actually been to any of the bars in San Jose. So
they suck.
Well, I hope they don't all suck. I'm trying to figure out a place where we can have a television so we can watch the premiere episode. So if you guys want to make sure to follow me on Twitter or watch the What's Good Games Twitter, that's What's Good_Games. We'll have the location hopefully by the end of today. Plus, Dave, since you're here, we have to talk about the Call to Arms, which is happening.
Yes. Call to Arms is, so we do it twice a year, and basically this is our huge streaming fundraising push, again, twice a year, one in May and then one in the month of November. Of course, Veterans Day falling right smack dab in the middle of November and coming up on the end of the year. It's a great way for us to kind of get ourselves ready to go into 2019. What's kind of unique, what I really love about Call to Arms is it's not partner-driven or industry-driven or anything like that, really. These are, just a large number of small to medium level streamers. Every once in a while a large streamer will come on and help us out, which is great. But really, this is just about the red shirt army kind of getting out there.
It's like a grassroots movement.
It is, very much so. And it's, we've always kind of had the mindset that we'd rather get $1 from a million people than $1 million from one person. And Call to Arms is a pretty good kind of example of that, where we just have tons of streamers coming in, folks who are in our orbit, folks that are in our community. A lot of the folks that are in our gaming community go out and do their own call to arms streams. And we really just try to remove all the barriers, make it really simple to set up a campaign, get out there and just do your thing. And then we help, you know, we do what we can to amplify it and send people your way. And so it's very, very cool. And it's, it is a big, big focus of effort for us every year. You know, those 2 months is like, okay, it's call to arms time. And that is our focus.
And just for people who are looking at your amazing red shirt and going, I don't know what Stack Up is. I've never heard about Stack Up before. What is Stack Up?
Well, allow me to give the elevator pitch. Thankfully, I have a little more than 30 seconds, so I can go into a bit more detail. But basically, Stack Up is a video gaming charity that supports active duty and veterans, not only U.S., but all U.S. allies. So, you know, Canada, UK, you know, British forces, Australia, like anywhere, anybody that's, if you're friendly, like we're cool, like we got you, right? Like if ISIS, you know, requests support, I'm going to have to politely decline. But other than that, like we're
maybe
pretty.
Maybe not politely decline. Maybe not. Maybe angrily decline.
Right? But no. Anybody who's friendly, like we're cool. So we do that through four major programs. You know, one is our Supply Crate program, which is essentially video game care packages that we send all over the world. So that we kind of tailor for whoever is receiving it, right? So if it's a deployed unit, for example, they're going to get, you know, a console, accessories, you know, a bunch of games. We try and mix in the latest and greatest. So like, you know, when Spider-Man came out, Spider-Man goes in all the crates. Of course, Red Dead Redemption 2 is coming out. That'll be going into the crates. And we mix that with stuff that we maintain on hand that have come in as donations and stuff like that to really make sure that we're getting folks a spread of different titles, right? Because we don't know what everybody's interests are going to be. But those crates are basically going to be everything that a growing unit needs to engage in some downtime fun. That was, when I came on, that was one of the things that I came on to do. And so it's got a big place in my heart. Another program is our Air Assault program, which you and Greg and you guys see more of that than anything else, which is where we bring disabled or deserving veterans to gaming industry events and really roll out the red carpet for them. We have a lot of amazing partners like yourselves in the industry that can really help these guys get.
We just do a small part. I was just happy to meet so many of the red shirts at our event that we did at PAX West. So it was so great to see such a deep bench that you guys had there.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, we love you guys to death, and really, you know, for all of the great work that the charity does, like it's all only possible if you're getting support, right? Because I could bring, you know, a couple of folks to a TwitchCon, right? I could bring them to PAX, but if I don't have anybody there helping me out, then it's really just going to be Dave Cross walking a bunch of guys around and be like, hey, that looks pretty cool, right? You want to stand in line all day?
So, welcome to cons.
Yeah, right? So the Air Assault program is basically we kind of have like this giving folks the VIP experience at conventions and hopefully, you know, changing somebody's life through that. We have our Stacks program, which is our local outreach teams. We have Stacks all over the world, which is really, really cool. So we have local teams all over the continental U.S., but we've also got them in Australia. We've got one in New Zealand. And these are groups of civilians and veterans coming together to just kind of do outreach in their local areas. They're doing events. They're, you know, just whatever they can do, right, to be a positive impact in their communities, which is really, you know, that's the most grassroots element of what it is that we do, which is, hey, just get out there, go forth and do good things for people in your orbit. And, you know, if some of that comes back and supports us, then that's awesome. But really, like it has intrinsic value that they're just out there doing it. And so we love the Stacks. And the Stacks folks, they do a lot for us. They come out, they volunteer and run our booth. They, you know, they do these local events. I regularly have Stack leaders that are reaching out to me and saying, hey, the local Microsoft store really wants to help out and donate some gear. And it's like, that's awesome. Get me in touch with them. And next thing you know, we're getting donations for supply crates. And so it's just really all just part of this larger ecosystem. And lastly, which is a new initiative for, you know, started kind of at the beginning of 2018 and is rapidly becoming, you know, an equal focus of our efforts is our Stop Squad, which is a Stack Up Overwatch program.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So the idea is we've always viewed, you know, the nature of our existence is such that we recognize the mental health benefits of gaming, right? Like for guys like me and so many others, like Steve Machugo was similar, our founder, for those of you who don't know who I'm talking about. You know, video games are this amazing tool for healing, right? And we recognize that. And there are conversations that you can have with people when you're playing a video game that you could never have by just kind of reach out to somebody like, hey, is everything all right? You know, like that's a really weird question to answer as somebody being asked it. But, you know, if you're playing Destiny together and, you know, you're just shooting aliens and stuff, then, you know, the conversation tends to lean towards whatever's on somebody's mind the most, right? So it's a really organic way to support one another. Well, we love that. But we also felt like, well, maybe we can be taking a more direct approach with this. Maybe we should have a service. You know, we're going to have these things that reach people organically, but maybe we should also make it abundantly clear that we have folks who want to talk to you if you're feeling like reaching out directly. And so we kind of put that in place. And we have a lovely bunch of volunteers that dedicate their time. You know, they're out there undergoing training and getting, you know, certifications and stuff so that they can provide non-clinical support through our Discord and through our community. And so it's really been a focus of effort for us going through 2018. We're really, really proud of it. We're really proud of all the folks that help us do that. And, well, that's 5 minutes of me pitching StackUp.
Listen, you guys do a lot of really awesome, great things. And we're going to talk a little bit more later on in Reader Mail about how you guys can get involved if you are loving everything that Dave's talking about and you're like, how do I help out with StackUp and veterans? So we'll talk more about that in just a little bit.
Yeah, and of course, if anybody has questions, I am an open book. You know, I could talk about this stuff all day, but that's just a primer. If you have questions about any of those four programs or about how we do business, we're an open book. So I welcome all questions.
And we'll put Dave's contact info, his Twitter handle and things like that in the show notes for you guys if you want another resource to find him. We're just going to give you his personal address and phone number so you can ask him out.
Here's my wife's work schedule and here's where my kids are going to be.
But for now, I think we should probably get into what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Three items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Kevin, that's very impressive. I almost feel like I should have said 2.5 items because this first item may not actually be news. And because we need an expert, I'm calling in the big guns, Tim Geddes, to talk about a major Smash Brothers leak.
What's up, everybody? Now, here's the deal. I want to put a disclaimer on this. You know, Smash Brothers hype and like conspiracy theories are three of my favorite things in the world. And for some reason, they always seem to be related.
That sounds right.
With this whole Smash hype cycle. I want to say, if you don't want any leaks that may or that might be true, I would not watch this show for the next 5 minutes.
Leave.
Like, stay away. You might be able to hide from these if you want to like get the hype injected in your veins whenever Nintendo wants to properly show us it the right way. If you don't care about that, keep listening because we got some crazy shit going on today, ladies and gentlemen. It all started at E3 2018 when we get the confirmation that everyone is here. Sakurai went fucking crazy. He's like, you know what? Even Pichu from Melee, yeah, he's back, okay? We're also adding Ridley. We're adding all the Squid Kids. This is going to be great. It's going to be great. Kevin, can you please bring up evidence number one?
Wait, hold on.
While he's bringing up, oh, is this evidence number one?
This is evidence number one. This is the image that was revealed at the end of the Nintendo Direct at E3 2018, showing all of the characters that have ever been in the Smash Bros. Franchise all together back again in Smash Brothers Ultimate.
I feel like we need to have a telestrator for you so you can like draw on
exactly.
This.
Luckily, a lot of people on the internet did the work for me. Please, Kevin, go to evidence number two. Is that number two?
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. You might not have noticed much of a change, but if you look closely, you can see the addition of Simon Belmont right next to the Ice Climbers. Okay?
Okay.
What that means is that as characters are added, they have put out new versions of these wallpapers, putting new characters in.
Okay.
So you might think, oh, if I was trying to create a leak, it'd be real simple to just add characters in here and there all willy-nilly.
Right.
But let me tell you something, guys. It's harder than that seems. Why? Because every time they add characters, other characters totally move around on where they are.
Okay.
It's not just being added in empty spots. So there's no way you can like kind of have theories of like, oh, there's an empty spot here. Yeah,
that's an outline
here.
Of so-and-so.
Exactly.
I'm going to stop you for just a second.
Yes.
For all of the people listening or watching that have absolutely no idea what we're talking about, there was a major Smash Brothers leak, and I'm just going to read this little blurb from Brian over at Nintendo Everything just to catch you up before we continue with Tim's theories. Unlike past leaks, this one appears to be gaining some traction, or at least some attention than usual, more attention than usual. As for where the leak came from, in the first place, someone supposedly showed an image containing final character art through Snapchat. After digging around and looking through LinkedIn information of the person who shared the banner image, the one who shared the initial image seemingly works at a French print company that specializes in manufacturing cutouts and banners for media advertising. His company also works for Bandai Namco, and we all know how involved Bandai is with Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Fans have been going to great lengths to show why this leak could be real. Still, we definitely can't say the characters listed above are confirmed. There have been many Smash-related leaks in the past that seemed initially real, only to be proven false later on. So those characters that are in this leak are Shadow, Banjo-Kazooie, Isaac, Ken, Mock Rider, Geno, and RPG. Chorus Kids.
Yeah.
Those are the alleged characters.
I just got chills. I want everybody to know I just got chills from Andrew saying that. Now, here's the deal, though. There was another leak that disappointingly seemed real that happened not too long ago, claiming that the final two characters being added would be Ken from Street Fighter as an echo of Ryu and Incineroar from Gen 7 of Pokemon. Now, a lot of people are like, that'd be kind of underwhelming. But in the last Nintendo Direct, where Animal Crossing was announced and Isabel was announced to be in Smash, Sakurai afterwards was in a Famitsu article saying, hey, don't expect many more characters. Like, we kind of got a little overzealous, like, announcing too many too fast. There's not that many to announce before the game comes out.
Just I got
to
say something for the Game Awards.
Letting you guys know that. Well, Game Awards is going to be DLC. But I got to let you guys know, like, there's not going to be much more. So when the leaked image of what seemed like Ken in the game came out, it's like, all right, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be Incineroar and Ken. And not that that's disappointing. There's already a lot in this game. But this new leak, a lot more enticing to me, I'll tell you what, okay?
Okay.
You tell me Banjo motherfucking Kazooie might be in this game? Oh, what?
Yeah.
What, Andrea?
I mean, it's wild.
You brought the facts. You brought the facts of what happened. This guy had some Snapchat. It was a video that something like, so the reason that it's blurry, when you see blurry things on the internet, you're like, why is it blurry? This is fake. Why wouldn't you get a good image? But it was from someone's Snapchat video that somebody just screenshot it. That's why it's blurry. Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's how leaks really happen, right? Somebody is being
taking a picture of something they shouldn't be taking a picture of.
Someone's being nefarious. yeah, so exactly.
What we're seeing here is evidence number three, which is the leaked, updated version of this everyone is here wallpaper, right? Some characters are moved around in places that they shouldn't be or weren't before, plus all the new characters that you just said are there. People are saying that they see other characters like Cosmos from Xenosaga in the clouds. They're just clouds. You guys are tripping. But, Kevin, can you please go to evidence number four? So here's the thing. This is the actual image this is the Snapchat right here. Okay?
Okay.
So if you see the underneath the LOL, there is a clean background slate of the image. If he has access to that, then he didn't just make it himself. He would be able to then put the characters wherever he wants.
Right.
Which has credence of this being legit marketing material. Right?
Right. But that also means that they have that image that they could Photoshop it any way they want.
Absolutely. But they also need the assets of all the different characters to be
able
to
Which is not that
move.
Hard to get, right?
It is. Very hard to get. Because it's like a painting. Only Nintendo or marketing people would have those assets.
Okay. You mean the individual characters?
Because then there's a lot of overlap of characters that you wouldn't be able to just Photoshop them out. Yeah,
that's true.
You could fix that. Andy Cortez, he's a Photoshop whiz. He could do it.
I think about how much work would have to go into faking this. But then again, I'm still burned by the NX, man.
So,
like, somebody made a working 3D model of a fake console.
Yeah. So here's the thing.
And it was beautiful.
I say there's a 50% chance that these leaks are 100% real. If we start getting any evidence of these
characters,
if we get to the next direct and Banjo-Kazooie's in it, this is real.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
So I'm glad you brought that up. So a lot of people wrote in about this, as you can imagine. Briegelbeak writes in and says, "What's good, Andrea and Dave? With today's leak of the remaining characters for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate featuring the Microsoft-owned N64 alumni Banjo and Kazooie, is there any chance the duo will be officially unveiled at the next month's XO event as opposed to a Nintendo Direct?"
There is a chance. I think it is slim because I still think this is all too good to be true. Imagining Banjo and Kazooie in Smash Brothers is unreal. But then again, so is Cloud, so is Ryu. Like, this doesn't. We live in a world where
so is Wii
we
Trainer,
just get
right?
good things.
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. I think the timing of that is a little weird. I feel like unless this is real, if Banjo and Kazooie are announced, they would be DLC. And I think that the DLC announcement wouldn't be at an Xbox event. I think it's going to be at Game Awards. Mm-hmm. So the timing, I feel, in my heart, I don't think it's going to happen. In my soul, I
How fun of a moment, though, would it be since, you know, Nintendo has been having these kind of great moments with, like, Miyamoto-san on stage. Mm-hmm. If, like, Phil Spencer and Miyamoto-san are on stage at the Game Awards, being like, we're excited to be working together to bring you Banjo-Kazooie and really cool. Smash Bros. Ultimate.
But, has anybody asked the real question? Like, if Banjo makes it into Smash, how long before Master Chief makes it into Smash?
It won't be Master Chief. I feel like Minecraft Steve has a better chance.
Oh,
and I
that's
wouldn't
a good
be surprised
one.
Of seeing a Minecraft stage in Smash Brothers regardless.
And that fits right. Really well for items and stuff,
that's
too.
That's DLC stuff. I don't think it's going to be at launch. Going crazy with this, though, if Banjo and Kazooie were announced in Smash at the XO event, I also wouldn't be surprised if Nintendo and Microsoft announced some weird collaboration with the N64 Mini, announcing that and being like, hey, look, Rare's games are also on it. Like, we're working together, like, power to the players, all that shit.
Yeah.
But again, that's wishful thinking.
That
Back
really
to
cool,
the
though.
Evidence, ladies and gentlemen.
The proof.
Kevin, please go to the next thing. So the internet did some crazy conspiracy things. Can you pull it up on this big screen?
It's the Charlie Day like murder board.
Oh, is it not there?
No, we're looking at the morning show doc on the big screen.
Because Reddit and 4chan did some sleuthing to get to the bottom of this, and man, this is what's starting to make the evidence look real for this leak. All right, we got the never before seen blank Battlefield artwork, which I was talking about a second ago.
Mm-hmm.
As you can go through, recently Sakurai tweeted that he bought some little mech for research, and it looks very similar to the Mach Rider, the new design.
Right?
All the stuff about the designer and his previous stuff and his LinkedIn that now has been taken down and all that stuff. There's further evidence that's not on this of people that have called the company to see if this guy actually works there, and it's confirmed that he does. So there's a lot of real shit going on here.
This company's in so much trouble.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say not for long.
Koro scan that came out a month ago that said that there was 108 stages in the game, even though last we heard there was 103 stages in the game. If there's five newcomers, there'd be five new stages, which would then end at 108 stages. They perfectly line up in the character grid if they added these characters, so it'd be a perfect nice rectangle. Not that that's real evidence. I don't believe in those type of theories because DLC would mess that up anyways.
Right.
But ladies and gentlemen, this brings us to the most important fact about these leaks and why I think this is real. And this is why I call this the Grinch theory. Kevin, please bring up the next piece of evidence. This man right here is the Grinch. You might know him from classic children's fairy tales. But there's more than meets the eye with this shifty-eyed character here. Kevin, please bring up the next piece of evidence. Andrea, who is that?
That's the Grinch's dog.
What's his name?
I don't know.
Max. His name is Max, and never forget it, okay?
Okay, Max.
You know
He's got great hair. Look at him.
Because
He's
Max
so cute.
Max might be the dog that's bringing us all of our dreams in Banjo-Kazooie and the Smash Brothers. Go to the next image. This is back to evidence number five, I think it was. If you look and above the LOL, all right, you can clearly see the Grinch and Max.
All
right. And if you look down to the right.
Oh yeah, there they are.
You see the Grinch and you see Max. Go down, Kev. Down to the right, you start to see a bit of an ornament. And then there's somewhere else, I don't know where it is, where you see a Grinch mug, where you see the back of Grinch. Now here's the thing. People went on LinkedIn, they found out the same team working on the Smash Bros. Marketing material. Guess what they're also working on?
The Grinch.
The Grinch
2018, baby. And they have access to marketing materials for the Grinch and renders that have never been released before. Ladies and gentlemen, get hyped. Banjo-Kazooie is going to be in Smash. Will the Grinch? Stay tuned. Will the Grinch theory be real?
This leak is very layered.
Is the headline to this episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily going to be Smash Brothers character leaks ? With the Grinch as the thumbnail? Hell yes they are. Hell yes, the Grinch theory, baby. Let's believe it. Thank you very much. I'll see you guys later.
Oh, Tim Geddes, thank you.
That was a treat.
Oh my gosh. Could not have done it. Yeah, that was That was something. Wow.
I need to get him help.
How do you follow that up?
You don't really. I guess you followed up with some cool NPD news. So thanks again to Tim. Thank you to everybody who wrote in about the Smash Leaks, except for that one guy who was like, please don't talk about the Smash Leaks.
Sorry,
as if,
dude.
As if that was possible when we have Tim Geddes in the house. Number two on the Roper Report, Spidey kills it on NPD. Over at GameSpot, Eddie, our friend of the show, wrote, the NPD group has released its monthly report for September, revealing the consoles and games that sold the best in the U.S. during the month. Starting with games, Sony's PS4 exclusive Spider-Man topped the charts and set a new record for the highest launch month dollar sales for any PlayStation exclusive ever. Let me read that one more time. Highest launch month dollar sales for any PlayStation exclusive ever. The game made more money over its launch than any other title across the entire industry this year. To put Spider-Man's success into further perspective, the NPD said first month sales were 37% higher than the combined launch month sales of every other Spider-Man game released since 1995. Now, that stat wasn't that surprising considering the performance of Spider-Man games in the past. Not for trying and not for fan support, because Spider-Man games, regardless of their quality, have always been supported by a hardcore fan
base. There have been a handful of good ones, too.
Yeah, of course there have. Yeah, definitely. Did you have a personal favorite?
Everybody speaks really, really highly of Spider-Man 2, and I feel like I missed the boat on something because I never played that one. Mm-hmm. But I remember, I want to say it was like, I don't know, like 2002, maybe. I remember I had a copy of, it was just Spider-Man, and they kind of, I believe they tied it. It was before the one that they tied into the movie or something. I remember, I'm terrible.
It's okay. It was a long time ago.
But I remember there
ago.
Was a Spider-Man game that was a whole lot of fun, and it started off.
Maybe kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong can tell us what the name of this game is.
I'm sure they can, but I remember you started off in the whole wrestling outfit, and it kind of carried you through that. So it seemed to run alongside the movie, but I don't remember the movie accurate suit playing too big a role. Anyways, that game was awesome. And I enjoyed it a whole lot.
If only we knew what the title was. Help us out, Twitch. I know that you guys can find it for us.
I think it was just Spider-Man.
Oh, is this it? Kevin found it. Look at this. Can you put this up on screen for us?
That was very quick. That was very, very quick.
Oh, my gosh. Tell me that's not
just... I got the year right,
Andrea. The internet, it just actually looks like that. Isn't this wild to think about? Yeah. This is how Spidey used to fight and swing, and now it's just... all in its 4K glory.
This was a fun game, but number two was, like, because you were able to touch the ground. Because I believe with this one, it had that fog.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I think you're right.
Yeah. With two, you could go down to the ground, and that, like, mm-hmm. changed it. But real quick, just putting my input in there, the Ultimate Spider-Man, that was my favorite Spider-Man game.
Thank you. Cool. Kevin, your input is always welcome.
Before this, it was Maximum Carnage for me, which I do still have that one. I enjoy that quite a bit.
So many Spider-Man games.
I know.
Continuing on with our NPD story, NBA 2K19 landed at number 2 in September and it enjoyed the highest launch month dollar sales of any sports game released since NPD started tracking in 1995. That is also a crazy stat, a big month in September for video games. NBA 2K19 also had the best launch of any game in the NBA 2K franchise in history. Assassin's Creed Odyssey made the September chart as well, landing at number 3, which is kind of crazy since it didn't come out until the first week of October. So, not sure how that happened. Landing at number 3, and it enjoyed double-digit sales growth compared to Assassin's Creed Origins. The NPD's tracking period for September, oh, of course, here we go, ran until October 6th, just one day after Odyssey launched. I have no doubt that they'll be charting in October as well. Random thing got in here somewhere? I don't know.
Pulled over?
Like a sidebar in the story that Greg accidentally copied and pasted. Another September highlight was the Forza Horizon 4, which had the highest launch month dollar sales in Forza franchise history and is the biggest launch for a racing game on any Xbox platform in history. Forza Horizon 4 was the 7th best selling game of September. Man, September was just crushing it for video games.
Yeah.
And last but not least, September's Shadow of the Tomb Raider debuted at number 5, but sales dropped compared to the launch month for Rise of the Tomb Raider. Overall, the total game sales reached 747 million in September, which is flat compared to last year. But also, I wanted to shake a stick at $747 million.
Terrible.
I know that Square might not be as happy with the sales as they want it to be, but that's, I mean, I'd go home and call that a win.
Yeah, it's a W.
We do have a question from Grant from Kentucky. What's good, Andrea and Dave? With NPD numbers releasing today showing Spider-Man setting a record for being the biggest PS4 exclusive launch game, where does Insomniac Games go from here? Obviously, a Spider-Man 2 game would seem inevitable, but what other projects could you foresee them working on in the future? Any more Marvel property games? In actuality, thanks for everything you do, Grant. Well, Grant, thank you so much for writing in. Of course, you guys can be part of the show at kindoffunny.com/KFGD. I would say I want to see Resistance come back.
Do you?
I really enjoyed that franchise. And I think it's I think it's been gone long enough now that there's probably a whole swath of gamers who are out there going, I have no idea what Resistance is.
Yeah.
And that is kind of tragic. I think Insomniac has such an amazingly diverse set of intellectual property that they work on. And I know that their studio has been very focused on VR, doing a couple of different VR titles.
Like Stormland and a couple others. I think they're on VR title number 4.
Yeah, it's been a ton. And so I would really like to see them go back to something a little bit grittier, darker. Obviously, they're known for being whimsical. You got Ratchet and Clank. You've got, you know, Sunset Overdrive. And obviously, yeah. Spider-Man has got a lot of levity and humor in it. But I want to see him go. I want to see him go dark again. What do you think?
That's fair. If I were to just throw some at the wall, like I want the industry to take another stab in an Iron Man game. That's what I want. Iron Man has always been one of my favorite superheroes. I think if Marvel's looking at Insomniac thinking like, all right, you guys really like you knocked this out of the park. We'd really like to see you tackle some other properties. I'd like to see an Iron Man game. I don't know how much of their, you know, existing work translates, but they feel like they could do that some justice. Resistance was one that I never really got into it. I tried, and I feel like there's something there that would probably grab me, and maybe it was just a timing issue for me, but I think it was Resistance 2 I tried to play, and for whatever reason, it just didn't grab me at the time. Sorry, audience, if you hate me now, but...
I'm sure they don't hate you. But yeah, I think Iron Man is an interesting idea. I'm not sure where that would fit in with, you know, Square Enix and Crystal Dynamics working on an Avengers game.
And that's kind of admittedly, like, I know, like, it's not the perfect... This is something I could see happening.
Iron Man in VR? Insomniac's working on VR?
Well,
they've worked with Marvel?
Stormland has a propulsion system and you're flying around. It's like, how close is this going to get?
Can we just put an Iron Man skin on it?
Yep.
That would be cool. And of all the Avengers heroes, it seems like obviously Iron Man feels ripe for VR with Jarvis and like the mask and... all that stuff. So who knows? But we are obviously very happy for Insomniac and congrats on such an amazing NPD month. I have no doubt that as we go into the holiday season, that they are only going to rack up more sales and hopefully some Game of the Year accolades as well. Let us know what you guys think. What would you like to see from Insomniac Games? Write us, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. All right, our last item on the Roper Report. I apologize to everybody who is maybe a little fatigued with the Rockstar game news, but with Red Dead Redemption 2 launching this week, don't anticipate it abating anytime soon. This one, Dan Houser, happy to not be doing GTA 6 in the current climate. This write-up comes from IGN. Dan Houser has said that he's thankful to be releasing Red Dead Redemption 2 and not GTA 6 this week, because the latter would be, quote, out of date within 2 minutes. In an extensive interview with GQ, Rockstar co-founder discussed how his flagship franchise tone doesn't quite mesh with the current cultural climate. Quote, it's really unclear what we would do even with GTA 6, let alone how upset people would get with whatever we did. Both intense liberal progression and intense conservatism are both very militant and very angry. It is scary, but it's also strange, and yet both of them seem occasionally to veer towards the absurd. It's hard to satirize for those reasons. Some of the stuff you see is straightforwardly beyond satire. It would be out of date within 2 minutes. Everything is changing so fast, end quote. Man, he is absolutely right that GTA 6 releasing today would have a slew of problems.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think how that game has had legs for so many years. But if you go back and look at some of the things that happened in the story of that game, like, really taboo. And like, it's interesting that he thinks the game is so much satire when, I don't know, maybe I just didn't read it as satire.
Yeah.
Yeah. How much of GTA did you play?
I have the weird position of never having finished a Grand Theft Auto game.
That's not weird. They're long games.
But I've played a lot of them. And yeah, I mean, it's hard not to agree with what he's saying. Like, I feel like there's no way that they could send up the types of subject matter that they send up without drawing all kinds of unwanted pressure and attention. And maybe it's just like ride out the storm a little while longer and wait for the right opening.
Well, I mean, they've been working on Red Dead for, what, like 6 to 8 years now?
Yeah.
And I don't anticipate us getting a new Grand Theft Auto for at least 3 to 5 would be, sounds about right.
I imagine they have folks working on it already, but yeah, Red Dead is kind of where we're at now, and I'm excited for that. It's nice to get something non-GTA for a bit, and whenever GTA 6 does come out, I'm sure it'll be mind-blowing.
I'm sure. I mean, well, when you sell, you know, 85 million copies of the previous game in the franchise, the expectations are certainly going to be high.
Yes.
But I'm interested to see what Rockstar does, not only with, you know, Red Dead Online, which we really haven't heard much about at all as far as like what they're going to be offering. But we know that they are still supporting GTA Online really extensively. So I think we can anticipate a lot of content coming in the online, but also I would like to see some new IP from Rockstar. I would like to see maybe some of their other franchises come back. I've repeatedly talked about how I really like Max Payne.
I want Thrasher, Skate, and Destroy back. You heard it here. I want it so bad.
And I would like to just, you know, maybe see a little bit something that's not open world.
I would love to see a new Max Payne.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I really enjoy that franchise.
Me too. I didn't think I was going to like 3, and I played it way after it came out. But when I finally did play it, I remember thinking, like, I don't know why I was so hesitant. Like, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was really good. Kind of an anti-hero as a protagonist, but I still think that he's, they just do such great narrative work in their games. So if you guys have never actually played it, worth checking out. But we don't know if GTA 6 is even in the works or if it's ever coming, Dave. But we do know what's coming to the mom and grop digital shops this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the best place to find that would, of course, be... Can you read that for me?
I can.
Right here.
I was not ready. As listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
The whole thing.
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday. Took me a couple tries. We got there.
Thanks, Kevin. I take responsibility. I did not prep you ahead of time. We were so busy chatting back there with Tim about the Smash Brothers stuff that I forgot to tell you that you had that one job to read that line.
You had one job and you ruined it.
No, you didn't ruin it. I ruined it for you. Out today, Bugs Box VR on PSVR, Sky Hills on PS4 and Xbox One, and Midnight Deluxe is on Xbox One. And GameSpot says that Epic Games is rolling out Fort Nightmares, a spooky Halloween-themed Fortnite event that will be available on both the Battle Royale and Save the World modes. In the former, players will have a new set of challenges to complete, and in return will receive loot and cool new cosmetics, including a new skin. New dates, Fluffy Horde, the 2D side-scrolling hybrid between real-time strategy and tower defense, launches Wednesday, November 7th. Battlefield 5 has a free new live service, the Tides of War roadmap has been announced. Chapter 1, Overture, is coming 2 weeks after launch and includes the new map Panzerstorm and the last Tiger War story. Chapter 2, Lightning Strikes, is coming between January and March. Rush Mode returns to Battlefield. Combined Arms launches as well. So just so you guys are keeping track, that is early next year, 2019, between January and March for Rush Mode. Chapter 3 is Trial by Fire, which is happening in March of 2019. Firestorm and Battlefield's Battle Royale mode, which is obviously very anticipated, is going to launch early next year. Plus, the Grease map will also be added. Trent wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFG and says, with news floating around today about how the Battle Royale mode in Battlefield 5 isn't going to be there at launch, I can't help but wonder if DICE is biting off way more than they can chew. Star Wars Battlefront 2 was touted as a live service game, but updates and seasons have been massively slow, with the first trickle of new Clone Wars content scheduled for the end of the month, which is wild to think about for Battlefront 2, more than a year after launch. With Battlefield 5 taking a similar approach, is DICE even capable of handling two live service games, and should Battlefield 5 have been delayed?
I don't know. I don't know if they should have delayed it. I mean, as much as I generally hate to think about, you know, rush deadlines and just get something out, you know, like I don't typically like to see that stuff.
Right.
I also feel I feel obligated to acknowledge the fact that, like, they have a direct competitor, right? Like, Call of Duty's here. We got Blackout. They're doing their thing. It's just kind of expected. And if they want to keep the same tempo, Battlefield 5 has to come out now.
Right.
I also am I'm not qualified to speak on Battlefront 2. I dodged it entirely.
You're not alone.
I know.
A lot of people dodged Battlefront 2 entirely. I think that this is a good point that Trent brings up about DICE's ability to manage two live service games at the same time. Obviously, they are one of the largest studios that EA runs, and they have plentiful people on their team. But, I mean, does it mean that they need to be running two at the same time? And I would argue no. But we all know from history that EA likes to stick to their release schedules, likes to stick to their fiscal year projections, that they have a lot of financial obligations that are tied to those game releases. And sometimes that means that games come out when maybe they shouldn't. Maybe they should be pushed even like a year or so.
Yeah.
I would think that Battlefield definitely could benefit from having even more space from Call of Duty World War II.
If they were to take a year.
Right, like even an additional year to say, hey, we're just going to keep this and keep working on it and keep iterating on it. Because so far, the reaction that I've seen is very tepid. And the people that are excited, of course, the Battlefield diehards, but there's just so much else happening in the space right now that when you look at all of the games that are coming out from September to December year, like
this,
Battlefield
this year
5
has been insane.
Probably doesn't crack that top five.
No, I'll be honest. I come from a background of shooters where Battlefield has been my bread and butter since Bad Company 2. I always really enjoyed the gameplay. I prefer the team kind of objective-based gameplay over the, you know, slightly more arcadey version of Call of Duty. Another great game, caters to a different interest. For me, Battlefield was kind of it. And so having bought all of them up through Battlefield 1 and had a great time with it, if I'm being completely honest, Battlefield 5 has not even really hit my radar. In fact, which is odd for me, but Blackout, has kind of taken my focus and put it on Call of Duty and been like, oh, shoot, is this going to be the first Call of Duty I buy since World at War?
Wow, it's been a while.
It has been a while. I've played them with buddies and stuff, but the last one I purchased was World at War. And so it's been interesting for me to realize, like, this kind of bit of a juxtaposition there. But no, maybe you're right. I mean, maybe the extra year would have done them well. I haven't been paying any attention to 5. Is 5 out? 5's out.
No.
No, not yet.
Not yet. November.
Not yet. It's close.
Yeah.
Right. Again, way out of the loop on Battlefield 5.
But I mean, that's I think, indicative of the overall marketing strategy,
maybe there's the evidence, right?
Right. Is that they've been a little quiet. I anticipate the marketing push to really kind of ramp up at the beginning of November. So like next week, probably like post-Halloween in lead up to launch. But did they need to come out in this period, particularly if they're pushing the Battle Royale mode to next spring, which might be arguably the reason why
people might come back
to the franchise that weren't going to buy it anyway, right? People like you that have like been a Battlefield fan in the past, but kind of maybe taken the last couple of ones off. Right? So it's hard to say what's going to happen with this. Obviously, the Battle Royale mode did wonders for Call of Duty Black Ops 4. No surprise.
I think we all projected that. I rolled my eyes so hard. Singular. I rolled my eye very hard when it was Call of Duty's going to feature a Battle Royale. I'm like, of course they are. Great. Here we go. And man, I was an idiot. So well polished. It looks so good. And I'm just like, oh, I need it. Like,
I have to ask, why did you roll your singular eye? And for audio listeners, Dave has an eye patch and a bionic eye underneath of it. Why did you roll your eye? Did you not have faith in Activision?
I have faith in their ability to polish things, right? Their gunplay, their level of polish is beyond question. But I get frustrated with bandwagon jumping. It's like, well, of course
that's fair.
Everyone's doing Battle Royale now. Battle Royale this, Battle Royale that. It just all felt very tired to me. But of course, like, I also, if I look at it reasonably and look at it logically, like, there's still room for growth there. You know, Fortnite, I would have never bet on them to overtake PUBG in the space, but they well, look where they are now.
Right.
And so this has been a blind spot of mine in terms of my ability to kind of critique.
Pun intended.
I didn't catch that one actually until you said it.
Did you think, I mean, I held the stance that I thought that Call of Duty's Blackout could overtake PUBG because you're coming from a publisher with a long history mm-hmm. of a proven track record. We're talking about a developer, Treyarch, who has consistently made excellent first-person shooter games and mm-hmm. Black Ops being like the kind of crown jewel of the Call of Duty yeah. crown, right? Yep. I thought for sure that Call of Duty was going to challenge PUBG, but I also didn't play a lot of PUBG. So yeah. what do you think?
When I started looking at it objectively and not just on a from like an eye roll, like, oh, of course they're doing Battle Royale now. Everybody's as soon as I started looking at it objectively, yeah, I think I kind of drew the same conclusion. I favored PUBG, right? So in the Battle Royale space, I think Fortnite is amazing. I think it's incredibly well polished. I think if I had to pick one, I'd say it is objectively the better game out of, you know, between that and PUBG, just in terms of level of finish. But PUBG was always more my speed. I'm not looking to focus on the build. Right. I want the kind of survival just gameplay on its own. And so when I started to think about it objectively, I agree. I felt immediately like this is going to be it's going to be interesting to see how this stacks up to PUBG, because I feel like everybody's like 90%. Anybody who loves PUBG is like 90% in love with PUBG, because right. there's always the caveat. Like, oh, I just wish they would polish this, or I'd wish they'd fix that. It's like if a game... I love it, but.
Yeah, it's and like me so in Destiny.
Yes, I think that's everybody in Destiny. To a certain extent, if you're not cursing Destiny, do you even really love Destiny?
See, you get it. You understand me, Dave.
I did the Forever 29 thing. I was there, man. I was there. I joke with a buddy of mine who was a big World of Warcraft, like progression guild raider for a long time. I'm like, dude, this is the closest I've ever come to knowing what you went through in vanilla WoW. Like, I get it.
Wow, some deep cuts references there. All right, well, let's get through the rest of these new dates so we can head into reader mail. PSVR horror game Siren arrives on November 6th. General Grievous will be a playable villain in Star Wars Battlefront 2 starting October 30th. And the upcoming Fallout 76 beta times were just announced. They're going to be happening for Xbox One players on Saturday, October 27th, beginning from 2 p.m. Pacific time to 4 p.m. Pacific time. That's right. You get just 2 hours to play in the Fallout 76 beta.
Unless you're at TwitchCon.
Is it at TwitchCon?
It's over. It says right here. We're looking at October 27th, 28th.
Oh, that's this weekend. That's what you're saying. Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Yes. No, if you're at TwitchCon, you don't get to play at TwitchCon.
At all.
Meaning you won't be at home to play in the beta
that
during
is the
time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, no, if you have a badge to TwitchCon, you're locked out of the beta.
We're going
to
be wrapping up our What's Good Games Lights Off Halloween stream, which I forgot to mention at the top of the show. We did a horror Let's Play series that we're republishing on YouTube, which was a Facebook exclusive series last year. And we're going to be streaming, I think someone picked Soma for us. I don't know anything about this game, but apparently it's very scary. We're going to be streaming that at 2:30 p.m. Pacific time at twitch.tv/whatsgoodgames. And then maybe we'll just roll right into Fallout, because why not? Go run around the wasteland and kill some ghouls. I don't have a deal of the day. I'm sorry if somebody wants to write in to You're Wrong, because I'm wrong for not grabbing a deal of the day. Please do. And now let's get into reader mail. And it is brought to you by some of our lovely sponsors. The first of which is Loot Crate. Loot gaming, you ask? Why, yes, it's a monthly subscription box delivered directly to your door with exclusive pop culture collectibles, apparel, and gear. Loot Gaming curates and designs everything themselves, and you guys cannot find these items on your own. In this, Greg wants me to make sure to mention that he loves his Metal Gear pint glass. I've told you guys on the show before that one of my favorite loot crates was my Mass Effect loot crate that I got with my special Mass Effect Andromeda lowball glasses that I drink whiskey out of. This month's theme is victory. It comes at the edge of a blade. Face your enemies with a razor sharp gear from God of War, The Elder Scrolls, Kingdom Hearts, and Assassin's Creed. Loot Gaming is a curated collection, of course, of one-of-a-kind items, and you get a guaranteed t-shirt in every crate. $60 worth of value in each crate for less than $29 a month. This crate, you guys, is going to sell out, which means you must order this crate this week to guarantee yours, and you guys will get the best surprises once you do from the largest Geek and Gaming subscription company. You guys can subscribe now. Also, special thing, subscribers are automatically entered to win each month's Epic Drop, a special prize that looters can win just by being a looter. This month's drop includes a PlayStation 4 Pro plus a God of War bundle. That's pretty awesome. If you could, you guys can subscribe if you're interested at lootcrate.com/games. Enter our code GAMES to save an exclusive 30% off your subscription. Again, lootcrate.com/games. Enter the code GAMES to save an exclusive 30% off your subscription. Next up is Quip. We all know it's important to keep your teeth clean. And one of the best ways to do that is to brush your teeth twice a day. Yet most of us don't do it properly. And Quip is a better electric toothbrush to help you do just that. It was designed to make brushing your teeth more simple, affordable, and even enjoyable. People brush too hard, and some electric toothbrushes are too abrasive, but not Quip. It's got the soft little rubber nubbies on the end. They're really nice. They massage your gums. It's great. It also has a built-in timer with two pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides, helping guide a full and even clean. Did you guys know that up to 90% of us don't brush our teeth for the dentist recommended 2 full minutes?
I believe it.
Did you brush your teeth for 2 minutes today?
Nope.
See? Neither did I. It's okay.
Yes.
Brushes are automatically delivered on a dentist recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. And that's why Nick and myself and other people love Quip and why they're backed by over 20,000 dental professionals. Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/games right now and get your first refill pack, it will be free on us, you guys. That's getquip. So getquip.com/games and get your first refill pack on Kinda Funny. Next up and lastly, Third Love. Third Love has an offer for all of the Kinda Honeys out there, or maybe for the Kinda Honey in your life. The perfect bra. Using thousands of real women's measurements, Third Love designs its bras with breast size and shape in mind so that they fit impeccably and feel even better. Third Love just added 24 new sizes, making them the industry leader with a total of 70 sizes. And if you guys are like me out there, ladies, if you're listening, you've had those awkward fitting room run-ins with the girl with the measuring tape, and you're like, no, not today, I'm good. You guys don't even have to worry about that with Third Love, which is awesome because you can find your fit in 60 seconds online, order, and then try it on at home. Like I did, I got the wrong size the first time, and I was kind of bummed about that. But Third Love's amazing customer service helped me out, showed me which size I needed, shipped off my replacement, and now I've got my amazing, comfortable bra. You guys, it took 2 years to develop and perfect their brand new Perfect Cotton collection, which is made from premium cotton called Pima, and the result is a line of incredibly soft, smooth, and breathable bras and underwear you want to wear every day. If you guys want to get the perfect bra for your kind of honey, or if you're a kind of honey listening, we need you to go to thirdlove.com/games to find your perfect fitting bra for 15% off your first order. Again, thirdlove.com/games, and you'll get 15% off your order today. All right, that was a lot of text. Thanks. Thanks, Kevin. It's actually getting a little warm in here. Would you mind turning the fan on?
I'm glistening.
Thanks, friend. All right. So we answered a few of the reader mail questions during the Roper Report and during the new dates. But this one I wanted to bring up because yesterday on the show, Dave, we were talking about mouse and keyboard support coming to Xbox One.
Yes.
And I, as a diehard console player and somebody who is terrible at mouse and keyboard, admittedly, was like, why would anybody who plays console want a mouse and keyboard? So I asked the best friends to write in, and a bunch of you did. Thank you so much. And so I'm going to read a couple of these. This one is from Sean Willis. He says, long time, first time. What's up, Andrew? I wanted to answer your question about why we want mouse and keyboard support on Xbox. I don't want it so I can play established Xbox games like COD or PUBG. I want support in the hopes that more traditional PC games will be ported over. For example, Microsoft is hard at work making Age of Empires 4 for the PC. I used to play Age of Empires back in the day and would love it to come to Xbox. I think it has a real shot now because of M+KB support. So that's mouse and keyboard. I do have a PC, but my Xbox One X is more powerful. And I have a beautiful 4K TV. So that is my reason. Thanks for all you do. Paul also wrote in and says, hi, Andrea. Regarding the Xbox keyboard and mouse support that was brought up in yesterday's show, I personally would love to see Xbox move further into it, even having the new console basically become similar to what a Steam machine is. Similar to what Kevin and Greg were saying about having a gaming PC that can connect to my TV that is easier to deal with than a PC and more affordable, sounds like the perfect system. Give me the option to use a controller on more action-oriented games and a keyboard and mouse on shooters where the accuracy is needed a bit more. I think this would make for a more inclusive route and would work well with their Play Anywhere idea. Just wanted to throw in my two cents. What do you think about mouse and keyboard support coming to Xbox?
I think it's awesome. It's not something I'm going to get a whole lot of use out of. But
For audio listeners, Dave just...
Here, audio.
Oh, you could probably hear that.
I imagine they can. That would be my hand.
So I always call it your bionic arm, but what do you call it?
My robo hand.
Robo hand.
Yeah, whatever. I'm not very... I don't really use proper nomenclature for this stuff.
That's why I asked you. I don't know what the nomenclature is. I want to know what your nickname is for it.
This is my myoelectrically controlled prosthesis, Andrea.
Now you're just trying to be
That's my robot hand.
Robot hand.
And it's pretty cool, and I'm a big fan of it. It does not lend itself well to keyboard usage, so I tend to be going the other direction where I'm trying to use the controller for more and more on my PC. But no, I think it's awesome. Microsoft has just impressed the heck out of me over the course of this year with the XAC, which I'm very, very fortunate to have been involved with. It's a cool little thing that I got to do, right? Like the neat feather in the cap.
What's the XAC?
The Xbox Adaptive Controller.
Oh, yes. So I didn't know that it had an acronym.
Yeah. We were calling it the Zach Morris for a little bit.
Wait, why?
Because XAC. When Microsoft switched off of the prototype name, and we were asked like, hey, we don't use the prototype name anymore. The name is the Xbox Adaptive Controller, which is the XAC. And we just kind of started calling it like, well, how do you pronounce it? Like, okay, well, I guess it'd be Zach. And then so we started calling it Zach Morris. I mean, just one of those silly things that just snowball effect, right?
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. But so between the Xbox Adaptive Controller and some of the other kind of directions they've been pushing, they really seem to be focused on just player choice, for lack of a better term. Like, I'm a big fan of, as somebody who's knee deep in the accessibility kind of department now, it's anytime you can just open up a toolbox and let players choose for themselves what works and what doesn't,
right?
You're invariably going to, like, this is going to solve a problem for somebody that we may never know exists. We may never recognize their issue. But just by opening the platform, say, hey, mouse and keyboard support is here. Hey, the XAC is here. It's all just tools in the toolbox that, for me, I can't help but look at it, but from an accessibility point of view. And so I think it's great. Also, I think if people really want to play mouse and keyboard on the Xbox One, they're already doing it.
True.
When I was, Destiny 1 rating, back then I was on PS4, but... I had many people that I played with that were just finding, third-party solutions to use keyboard and mouse. And so it's like, well, it's already out there. It's already happening. Why not lean into it, open it up a little bit, and generate some goodwill in the process?
Get some official support going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and for the record, when I posed this question yesterday, it wasn't me being like, mouse and keyboard for Xbox is stupid. That was Kevin saying that it is, not me. I was just saying, like,
it's not for me.
It's cool if that's how you want to play. I just was wondering why people were so excited about it. And actually, a surprising amount of you, not just Sean, wrote in about Age of Empires 4 specifically.
It does open the floodgates.
Yeah. Are we going to see more MOBAs maybe?
Why not? If the door's open, right? Yeah. I mean, years ago, if you'd have told me we were going to have Diablo on consoles and it would play well with a controller, I would have laughed, right? I would have thought, I'd love to see it, but we had Diablo 1 on PlayStation 1, but that was a whole other nightmare. And to have what is almost unanimously, I think, agreed upon as the best version of Diablo 3 to be the console version, it's like, holy crap.
And now it's coming to Switch.
Right. And so what's missing, right? RTS. RTS is really the only thing that we really haven't been able to nail down on console, and maybe this is the way to do that.
Right. That's a really interesting idea. I mean, I've said for a long time that I'm always surprised to see the big MOBAs like Dota and League not have console ports yet, because they could open their audience up to millions, tens of millions of more players who don't play on PC at all. And after seeing how well Paragon worked on PlayStation 4, and, you know, we have Smite on the consoles as well, that I just didn't get it. But then, you know, somebody made a really good argument to me about all of the inputs for both of those games and how they're more complicated than the other two MOBAs are. And I was like, I get it. But maybe, you know, keyboard and mouse will change everything.
I'm all for options. Like, I am a firm believer that, especially with consoles just basically being smaller form PCs now, just open it up. Just open it up. Let people do what they want to do with it, within reason, of course, and just throw it out there.
Are you worried at all about competitive play and unfairness in competitive play if people are using mouse and keyboard on console?
I mean, I feel somewhat uniquely qualified to speak on this.
I think you are, which is why I asked.
I feel like it is 100% understandable to feel like there's going to be an imbalance, and maybe on a technical level there is, right? Like, there are just certain things, certain precision that you can't mirror on a controller. But as somebody who plays PUBG on PC with a controller and plays Destiny 2 on PC with a controller, it's really just about getting comfortable with it as the player. And as you get comfortable,
it's all about player skills.
You're going to adapt. And it's not that I'm terribly skilled. It's just that I'm so used to playing with this controller now that even in a PC environment, my play style reflects my ability to play. Right. So what I'm doing is, on some subconscious level, I'm sure that I'm making certain decisions, you know, based on the fact that I know that I'm not using keyboard and mouse. So I think if there is a technical difference, and there is a, you know, the ceiling is different for keyboard and mouse players versus controller players, then I think that the players can still, it's not going to impact you to the point where it's like, if only I had keyboard and mouse. Like, I just don't think it's as big of an issue. I'm certainly okay with it. But this is something where before I was in that space, I might have just been like, the two don't mix. But, I mean, we've seen that that's not entirely true.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, like, I pose it just as like a hypothetical. Yeah. I think when we talk about competitive play and PvP, it's always going to come back to you know, player skill and how much time and practice you put into it, regardless of what input method you're using. Yeah. And high level play is always going to be on mouse and keyboard. That's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah, no, you know?
Unless you're playing Smash, and then you're,
and like I said, I mean, even on console right now, like, any number of people that you're playing against are already using mouse and keyboard. They're just using some other means to do it. So it's already happening.
It's true. I had somebody write in. Let me find it. Going back to the...
So you could have been looking while I was rambling.
No, but I was listening to you.
Well, that was very kind. That was a very kind response to that.
I have a couple of the PSN bad names I'm going to do in just a second.
Oh, I saw one at the... I think I saw one at the top.
But I wanted to mention Fallout, the beta, because somebody... Because I got to play yesterday, and I had somebody write in. Okay, so here we go. Taylor Justice writes and says, I played the Fallout 76 beta last night and loved it. The game is gorgeous, and I rarely had any problems out of the game besides some dropped frames and some glitching out between me and another player in the game that I met and started a party with. My question is, what did you think of the beta if you played it? So I did jump in. I tweeted a photo of my my character, who I did end up getting my glasses in the game. I didn't get my photo with my glasses on.
I think so. I saw the initial tweet.
Yeah, so she's fun. I named her Red, and I jumped in, and my very first impressions are that it looks a lot, almost exactly like Fallout 4. Not a bad thing, just, you know, Fallout 4 came out a couple of years ago, was hoping maybe for a little bit of a visual upgrade. Again, this is a beta. We don't know what they're going to be bringing in. I did notice right away in my playthrough, textures were popping in and out of the background consistently as I was moving through the world. So, like, I would walk, and then the textures in the back would pop in. Walk, they would pop in. The whole time I was in the beta. So, that was a little disappointing to see that so prevalent.
Yeah.
A lot of rubber banding, a lot of network.
The rubber banding is troubling. Hopefully...
Well, I mean,
it gets sorted.
Yeah, and clearly, you know, a beta is a beta for a reason. I mean, and they
calling it the break?
The break it early test application. And they set up, you know, that expectation, which Greg and I talked about on the show yesterday.
Yes. I think I remember. I think I listened to that one.
I didn't get too far into the story because I was running around doing a couple side missions, and I did party up with some random people in the world. The party system seems pretty easy to use. They have a nice little emote wheel, so you can emote to each other. I did really like how when you are in the world and you put armor on, because For people that aren't super familiar with the Fallout armor system, you do it by individual body piece. So it's like a chest piece and then left arm, right arm.
Are they sticking with that?
Oh, yeah. It's back. Yeah. Which is kind of annoying because that's so much extra encumbrance to have.
I wasn't sure if they were going to go the, you know, the Elder Scrolls route where they kind of have moved towards, okay. Well, actually, no, even Elder Scrolls now. Well, what did they change?
Well, what they changed, what I love is that they have an out, when you put an out, a custom outfit on, so you'll pick up outfits as you do quests for people throughout the world. So I put on this university outfit, which had like a vault boy, like Letterman jacket.
Yeah.
And like these denim jeans with these little sneakers. It was really cute. But my armor still was on, but visually not represented. Mm-hmm. So I got to keep all of my armor stats, cool. But still got to wear my cool outfit on the outside.
That I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
That.
Thank goodness, because the bulky armor is just...
You've got to have... I feel like if you are a game that's based on the acquisition of many different types of armor, like there has to be a system in place for me to do what
to
I think
hide
looks
the armor.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just let me look cool.
Yeah, so I really appreciate that. They even have like a little line on the bottom of the screen that's like, run around the wasteland in style. And so it's like essentially like helmet hiding with the armor, which I really enjoyed. Something that was a little bit of a pain point for me, and I hope against hope that they finished, because when I was playing last night, John was watching. He was like, oh, man, did they learn nothing from The Division? When you go into like a camp area where there's crafting tables, you have to wait in line to use the crafting table. So if somebody else is on the crafting table, you can't use the crafting table. And that gets old real quick.
Yeah. And now this is other players too, right?
Other players in the world.
So what do you think of the odds that there isn't going to be somebody somewhere who's like, I'm just going to hang out at this crafting table
all
day?
Oh, no, there will be. I mean, because sometimes when you're used to playing like a single player style RPG, sometimes like I would just leave myself in the crafting menu and then like walk away.
Yeah, go grab
and
a bite to eat, make a coffee.
You know?
Or...
So when I was playing last night, I had to consciously remind myself not to get too bogged down in the menus while I was at the crafting table, to like look in the menus before and figure out what I wanted to do and then go and then do the craft and then leave.
Does it feel like Fallout as we know it? Because I mean, one of the things for me when I got into Elder Scrolls Online, and I think Elder Scrolls Online is really cool. I think they've done a great job growing and expanding that game, but it just never really stuck for me because I feel like it occupied this weird state where it's like, I'm kind of playing an Elder Scrolls game, but it never quite felt like Elder Scrolls, but it also didn't quite feel like the MMO that I wanted to play. What do you think about?
So far, this does not feel like an MMO at all. It does not feel like they're trying to change the format of Fallout. It feels like Fallout with a bunch of people populating the world.
Which is essentially what, I mean, everybody says they've been wanting for so long anyways, right? It's like, I just want to play Fallout, or I just want to play Elder Scrolls with my buddies.
Right. So I didn't get the opportunity to really go out on an adventure with my teammates because they were just kind of dicking around at camp, like looking at all of
as one does.
Yeah. And so I left their team because I was like, listen, I want to plow through some of this story content and go out into the world and see some stuff instead of just like walking around crafting stuff. So I left them. So I don't know how the enemy scaling is going to work when you're in the world. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you have like one person with you versus like two or three people with you, like how the world is going to react to your party size. Hopefully if you guys play and you have some extra thoughts, of course, please write into us at kindoffunny.com/KFGD and the guys can hopefully read them. They are doing the next session on Saturday. I'm hoping to get a bit more time with it then. But so far, this just feels like more Fallout. So if you really loved Fallout 4 and you were hoping for some new Fallout 4 DLC, that's what Fallout 76 feels like. But again, this is my limited impressions with about 2.5 hours of the beta. I don't know how deep the story goes. I don't know how big the world is. I mean, you know, Todd Howard said it's 4 times the size. But I mean, realistically, like, what does that mean?
Yeah, how dense is it?
Right. So it's more to see. There's lots more to find out. But yeah, so far, so good.
Cool beans.
Yeah. Okay. I think we maybe have time for one more.
Who asked the last one?
I didn't put it in the doc there. It's Taylor Justice.
Okay, thanks.
Do you want me to copy and paste it into the doc for you?
I mean, sure.
Okay. I got you, Kevin. Let me put it in here for you. All right. I just put it in there. Okay.
You're laughing.
Yesterday, I also mentioned the hullabaloo around the PSN ID changes. Have you heard about PSN name
yes,
changes?
Yes, I'm well aware.
Have you heard about all of the caveats if you change your name?
Oh, I'm well aware. See, I fall into the category of people who are hoping for a name change, but I cashed my chips in like a year and a half ago and just made a second account. I was like, I'm just making a new account.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm doing charity work. I can't be running around with this
stupid, terrible name.
Stupid abrasive name.
So I'm hoping what I'll do is I'll reach out to PlayStation PR and see if they can give me an answer. But I'm hoping PlayStation clarifies, because the legalese around the announcement yesterday, which was like obviously this big umbrella statement, is kind of scary.
It's like Calypso from Twisted Metal. Like, I can give you this thing, but it might destroy you.
Exactly. So this comes from Andrew Dramas, who says, angry Greg voice, Andrea Renee, this is your chance at redemption. End angry Greg voice. Well, that was really quick. Last week you hosted and said that you saw no bad PSN names in the doc. I wrote in that day, my PSN name isn't dirty or misspelled, just embarrassing. I was a goody little Christian boy that liked listening to Christian death metal bands back when I first got my PS3. And I thought I should make my PSN ID something I'd always be able to enjoy. So dumb little me created a name based on my favorite band, Demon Hunter.
I like Demon Hunter.
Fast forward a couple years and now I'm an agnostic, hard-hearted human with a permanent PSN ID. Of Demon Hunter life
with the Y.
With the Y, L-Y-F-E. Pretty embarrassing. No real hard feelings or actual anger, because I asked people, you know, about their PSN IDs if they were really hell bent on changing them.
Yeah.
As a general reminder, Shuhei Yoshida has nothing to do with PSN name changes. Thank you, Andrew, for bringing that up. We do have a couple, since we're talking about PSN IDs. I think it's time to transition into bad PSN names. I do have a squad up though. Did I miss that?
There wasn't one on the dock.
No, there isn't one on the dock. You are...
No, I thought I pulled one. I didn't. So maybe we'll have him do two tomorrow. Aaron James Lowe also writes, what's good, KF Crew? I have a question about this new era of PSN name changing. Like many, I have a PSN ID that I'll be changing due to creating it so long ago that the name no longer being relevant to who I am as a gamer. I know I want to change my ID name too, and I've name checked it to see if it's available. I did this by creating a new account and applying that name to the said account. My thought process was, if I create this account, I can save the name and change it later to literally anything else, thus freeing up the username for my actual account. However, now I'm starting to think I may have fucked myself over. I haven't been able to really find any info regarding this, but will PSN members be able to change their names to any username as long as it's not being used? For example, if Greg hypothetically changed his username to Game Over Poop Flinger and chose the option to not display his old name, could someone then take Game Over Greggy? Or is that original name tied to the account forever, no matter what? Have I screwed myself over by creating this new account in order to, quote, save the username that I wanted? Thanks for your input. You guys and gals make my day flow smooth. Keep a tight ass, Aaron James Lowe. listen, Aaron, first off, this is a very valid concern. I do not have an answer for you, but do you?
Well, I don't have an answer. I don't work for Sony. But
you just pointed to yourself.
Well, right, because I was thinking in my head, like, this is the same thought that I had when they first mentioned it. I was like, with all these caveats and all these asterisks, I was like, I wonder if I could, you know,
like squat on
do exactly what he's saying. Well, mm-hmm. I made a second account anyways, because right. As soon as I was doing this charity stuff, I'm like, I want like a non-juvenile.
So you want to like recover name. Your old account?
Like, can I do that? Right? Like
merge
I still,
the accounts
I'm
together.
I'm maintaining both accounts, but yeah, what I'm hoping, Aaron, is what I would really like to see, and this is a big like pipe dream, I think, but if Sony can grasp enough control of the usernames and they've got positive control of all this, let's say they can remove the caveats and they get to a place where it's like, hey, we now have complete control over these accounts. We can change things as we see fit or as requested by the user.
Right.
What I would like to see is, if they have that level of control, does that also give them enough control for me to be able to merge accounts? I have purchases on two different Sony accounts. I'm willing to let go of trophies. I'm willing to let go of save games. But if I could have anything I wanted, I'd want to be able to take all of the purchases I made with that old account, just roll them, just, hey, give them to me on the new account, and then you can destroy this old account. That's my, you know, 100% perfect, if I could have whatever I wanted, solution to the problem Aaron is talking about, where at least if you don't care about trophies that you've earned and save data, would be to just maybe they can execute that level of control, bring your old purchases onto the new account you made, and then just wipe the old one, and you kind of get to have both.
Well, I, you know, pulled up You're Wrong because we're getting to the end of the show, and a couple of people wrote in about this, so I'm just going to jump to these specific ones right now. Mr. Von Penguin says, I changed my PSN name last night and have had no issues with it at all, but one more thing, if a name has ever been taken, it will not be available, at least for now. Zyger writes in, original names are tied to the PSN, so they cannot be taken. Game Over Greggy, for example, cannot be taken unless the old account was 100% removed from the PSN. So I'm not sure how that is going to work with removal of old accounts. So you might have screwed yourself.
Perhaps.
Unless there's a way for you to delete that account in total. I'm not sure. It says here, Eric K. also writes in and says, hey guys, just want to remind you, since Sony has said you can change back, I don't think someone can squat on your old name. Pure speculation, of course, but wanted to remind you that they said this when this was announced. That is a very valid point. So if you can't, if nobody else can take your old name, you might not be able to take your old name either. Oh no, dude. I hope you have a variation of that really great name prepared to run with.
Pro tip, just add 420 to the end of it and you're good.
No, don't do that. Listen, if you want to, if that's your lifestyle, if you live for it, you go for it. You know what? You do you.
That wasn't a judgment cast.
Okay. Let's do these quick bad PSN names. Of course, as you guys know, we've been talking about, you can change your names. Where is it? I may have screwed up the doc here, Kevin.
Oh, no.
Here it is. Ian Britt says, bad PSN name is Britt with random numbers. I'm a guy. My last name is Britt. FYI, Britt is also short for a version of Britney. Ian, you know how I know this? Because good friend of mine, Miss Brittany Braunwalker, the blonde nerd, co-host of What's Good Games, also has a PSN ID of Brit with some numbers on the end of it, and her name is Brittany. I occasionally get creepy messages from guys asking how old I am and what I look like. Welcome to our world, Ian. I don't feel bad for you.
Ian, you've been blessed with perspective, son.
No, but seriously, people sending creepy messages, that sucks. Hopefully it stops for you. But I wouldn't call this a bad PSN name. It was just maybe more of an unfortunate PSN name.
Unintended side effect PSN name.
So this is why I chose to have my gamer tag remain gender agnostic for this exact reason. But sorry that's happening to you. Hopefully you can change your name to Ian with some numbers on it and your life is better.
Ian, I'm a dude, Brit.
All right, let's run through these. Your wrongs, of course. This is where all of our fantastic viewers at twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames help keep us honest by going to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. And today we have Albie writes in, just a quick correction, that Shuhei Yoshida doesn't actually hate us. Albie, I'm reading it because I asked you guys to write in, but never once during the show did I say that Shuhei hates you or that he's responsible for PSN name ID changes. Just
listen up, dude.
Just want to remind you. Mr. Penguin Von Penguin said, aiming to refer to the kids as lovely kids. This community calls them the big, beautiful kids. Don't forget about the small, ugly ones. That's why I call them lovely. There can be big, beautiful kids and small, ugly ones. All right? They're kids. Calm down, Mr. Von Penguin. Zaire, just a suggestion for the video title. How about How the Grinch Leaked Smash Bros.? That's actually really good.
It's not bad.
Tagless 02, Andrea, you said you're sorry for any fatigue on the Rockstar News. Remember all the Fortnite news, we just got used to it. That's a really good point. And there's only going to be more because the embargo for coverage lists very soon. Kebab says, deal of the day. I heard yesterday Shadow of the Tomb Raider got a price cut on Steam. Kebabs again, not a year wrong. No, wait, Andrea, did you know Konami ported Age of Empires 2 to PS2 with USB mouse and keyboard support? No,
they did that with Final Fantasy 11 was also on PS2 with, or was it, I think it was PS2, might have been Xbox 360. Somebody, well, then you don't have time to let me know now, but they had mouse and keyboard support for Final Fantasy XI on console. I do remember that, actually.
Well, then. Well, that is it for today. Dave, thank you so much for being here. I said at the top of the show, we would let people know how they can get involved with Stack Up. So if people are like, yo, I want to support our troops, I want to help out veterans, this sounds like an awesome cause, what can I do?
Yeah. So go to the website. It is stackup.org, spelled just like you see it here.
And for audio listeners, that is S-T-A-C-K. Yeah. Is it there the dash?
There's. It doesn't matter anymore.
Okay, that's so stack the, up. Yeah. So S-T-A-C-K-U-P dot
regardless of whether or not you use the hyphen, it's going to take you to the same place. We've perfect. Got both domains now. And yeah, so the website has all kinds of information about our programs, about our Stacks program that I mentioned. You can even see where those stacks are located if you want to go get plugged in locally. That's usually my first... you know, my first thing that I'll suggest is see if you have a local stack nearby. Go reach out. Let them know you're interested in kind of coming into our ecosystem. But also, you can check us out on, you know, on Twitch, on Twitter, all those places, stackup.org. Typically, our username is DOT spelled out. And come find us. Get plugged in. We obviously have a month of streaming Call to Arms fundraising going on, so you can find us out there.
If absolutely.
You know, whether you're looking to donate time, donate money, donate games, all of that information is on the website, and our Discord is open to the public. There it is.
And then Kevin pulled it up. And if you guys are on Twitter, if you just click on that hashtag Call to Arms or click on hashtag Red Shirts, you'll find tons of Twitter activity about people who are streaming, who are part of the community, and that can help point you in the right direction to how you can get involved as well.
Yeah, and our Discord is open to the public, so you guys can, you know, it is a direct line to us. I mean, we do weekly like town hall style meetings every week where we open ourselves up directly. So we make ourselves very transparent. Start at the website and just come find us, and we make ourselves readily available. So we'd love to have anybody looking to join up.
Well, thank you again so much for coming by. We're going to hang out at TwitchCon.
Honor
it's
going to
be
pleasure.
It's going to be great. We're going to say hi to Machuga. And don't forget, tomorrow's hosts are Greg and Jared. Expect lots of Red Dead talk. If you guys have Red Dead questions, of course, write in. Get those questions in. It's been our pleasure to serve. This is where we shake hands.
Oh.